and welcome to A Brand New Day with BTS, a podcast dedicated to bringing you a day-by-day history and song discussion of the South Korean music group internationally known as BTS. In today's episode, it's RM's birthday special. We talk about what BTS has been up to on RM's birthday every year, as well as the song Come Back to Me from RM's album Right Place, Wrong Person. First, let's talk about what BTS has been up to since September 1st of this year, which was my last episode. So we got JK doing his birthday live from his house. He did some karaoke for his birthday. He also told people to please not come to his house because you will just get locked in his garage until the police arrest you, which was something that happened the day before to a woman who obviously needed some mental assistance. JK has a new piercing. It's a stud through the middle of his lower lip. I've seen different names for that type of piercing online. I don't know which one's correct. So it's right next to where his mole is underneath his lip. It's really cool. What else? Hobie posted a photo of JK for his birthday. V posted a video of himself and JK and wished him happy birthday. On JK's birthday, RM and V attended the Paradise Art Night at Freeze Seoul. I think that's how you say it. Freeze Seoul? Freeze Seoul? Anyway, it's a Paradise Art Night event. And so their social medias were all about that after the event. RM posted a bunch of photos of his Namjooning adventures over the past few weeks. And he captioned it, "Love Will Come Back to You." And that's very appropriate for the song Come Back to Me that we're going to be talking about later. V shared his Coke commercials. J-Hope's been sharing his AP Watch commercials, photos, photo shoot stuff. So lots of that going on. V did some lives. So V did a live that was just very short of him just running. Which was audio only, and it was kind of funny to tune into with no prep for it being a running live. Then he did another live on the 7th where he was just hanging out in his place listening to music. And then J-Hope did a live later that same day where he's just on his way home from work. And his hair is so long now, it's amazing. He was saying that he's going to have to decide how he wants to style it soon. I think it looks cool long. It's rare to see J-Hope with long hair. I think it's the longest hair I've ever seen on him. And that's it, I think. Jin won a fan-voted award at TMA and acknowledged that on Weverse with a dad joke. So that's on brand. And V shared a funny post. It was just a funny post about electricity bill. Using a song that starts with Turn Off the Lights, Light a Candle. We found that hilarious and needed to share it with the world, which is also cute. And that's it. So it's been pretty slow. Pretty slow since JK's birthday because everybody's working really hard. Oh, the other thing I forgot to mention, Jin finally posted photos from Amsterdam Day 2 with the finale of his tour. So those are up on his Instagram if you want to see great pictures of Jin. And we'll see if he ever posts on Instagram again now that he's done his tour photos. I think he's still not followed JK's new account. So I don't think he logs into there very often. Anyway, so short news this week, but I've got tons to say about RM's birthday and especially the song Come Back to Me. So it's great that it's a short news week and hopefully you'll stick with me as I talk about a song for far too long. This day in BTS history, September 12th. It's RM's birthday, so let's start September 12th, 1994. Unlike JK's birthday, I don't have a world history event that causes me to immediately remember where I was when RM was born. But I can tell you that I'll Make Love to You by Boyz II Men was the number one song in the US. And I think that's very fitting. RM was born and raised in Ilsan, South Korea. Thanks to scrapbook photos RM has posted on Instagram, we also know that he was born at 1:28 p.m. Now let's jump forward. September 12th, 2010. RM spent his 16th birthday in the recording studio. This was before any of the other members had moved to Seoul, so if RM was living with other trainees at this point, it would have been people like Iron or Eleven, who would ultimately end up leaving after the company decides that BTS should be an idol group rather than a pure hip-hop group. J-Hope was signed at this time, but he was still waiting in Gwangju and hadn't moved to Seoul yet. And somewhere in Daegu, Suga may have just seen a poster for Big Hit Auditions and thought, what the hell, might as well give it a try. September 12, 2011. By RM's 17th birthday, J-Hope, Suga, and Jungkook and V are now in the dorms. Jin has also signed to the company, but is still living elsewhere. September 12, 2012. On RM's 18th birthday, all members are living in the dorms. Jimin buys RM a cake to celebrate, and RM spends his birthday in the practice room. According to BTS, in ARMY Zip content, it was Jimin who first started celebrating birthdays. This is RM's final birthday as a trainee. September 12th, 2013. RM's first birthday after debut is his 19th birthday. The boys all take to Twitter to post selfies of themselves in sunglasses or otherwise pose to mimic RM, while wishing him happy birthday. BTS are working. They just released NO and the album Oh Are You Late 2 the day before. So on RM's birthday, they're performing on M Countdown, and they have a little fan meeting afterwards. They also filmed the Bangtan Bombs' new BTS uniform and Sleeping Boys on this day. BTS tweet their thanks to ARMY, with RM tweeting additional thanks for all the birthday messages. September 12, 2014. For RM's 20th birthday, the Twitter congratulations theme among the members is for them to post kissy photos with him. Except Suga, JK, and V, who post a screenshot of them spamming RM in KakaoTalk. This time, it's School Love Affair that they're busy promoting on music shows. They film Music Bank on this day, as well as the Bangtan Bomb, various Beatbox by BTS, Face, Dog, Monster, etc. They also appear on a radio show, You In Na Volume Up, Simply K-Pop. And Jimin tweets to thank ARMY. Technically the next day, but before they go to bed that night, RM and Jin film a log. Jin didn't have time to make RM seaweed soup, sadly. Jin has only had 2 hours of sleep and needs at least 5 hours of sleep in order to make seaweed soup. They're both a little loopy with exhaustion in this log, but it's a fun one if you want to look it up on Bangtan Sub's YouTube channel or website. September 12, 2015. Exactly at midnight on RM's 21st birthday, RM tweets a photo himself and thanks his lovers in this complicated universe. After that, the Twitter account is inundated with BTS members wishing him happy birthday, sometimes multiple times. RM tweet recommends a September 12th by Rain to mark the occasion. JK tweets a meme photo of RM and says it'll be unforgivable if RM gets any cooler. Then he deletes the meme photo and tweets a nice photo of RM. RM then goes on Twitter rant about how he really looks like that and his friends are always saying that idol pictures are CG, but RM says he's actually handsome. JK's brief posting of a meme photo has opened the doors, though, and BTS start posting a bunch of meme photos. Then once they've had all their fun, they jump on a plane to Japan. Also on this day, Big Hit posts an Eat Jin episode called Kim Sok Jin, Who is Eating, but I'm not sure when it was filmed. September 12, 2016. Twitter once again becomes a madhouse on RM's 22nd birthday, with Suga getting the ball rolling by posting a funny photo of RM. Jin then posts a photoshopped Marilyn Monroe RM and apologizes for being himself. It's all fun and games from there, of course, with everyone joining in on the fun. RM posts a thank you video later on, and Jimin posts a video of himself giving commentary on RM's thank you video. Seemingly, this is all happening while BTS are doing their poster photo shoot for the third Muster ARMY Zip. Before the day is over, JK pops back on Twitter to recommend the song Beautiful Lies by Birdie. September 12, 2017. Both JK and V gift him clothes for his 23rd birthday, while J-Hope gives him a tomato lamp. The members fill Twitter with birthday wishes once again. Also, BTS make a surprise onstage appearance at the Chainsmokers concert in Seoul that evening. September 12, 2018. BTS are in California for RM's 24th birthday. They had started celebrating on Korean time the day before with a very chaotic live that ended with Jimin getting chocolate on RM's favorite bright white hoodie and then having to quickly gift RM the jacket that he bought him as a gift to hopefully stem some of that anger. On his birthday in Pacific time, BTS tweet the infamous video of JK kissing him on the forehead. RM gives a short interview for episode 2 of their docuseries Bring the Soul, and then they have their Love Yourself concert in Oakland, California, before hopping on a flight directly after the concert. September 12, 2019. RM and BTS are on vacation on his 25th birthday. Still, many of the members tweet to wish him a happy birthday. RM posts photos and thanks for birthday wishes on Weverse, which was launched in the summer. Unrelated to RM's birthday, Jin dyes his hair black on this day. RM posts a letter to Weverse, reflecting on how special his birthday has become, and quoting Shakespeare, "We are advertised by our loving friends." September 12, 2020. RM tweets a happy 26th birthday to himself by posting photos of him Namjooning, including one photo I absolutely love of him observing a child's chalk art like it's in a gallery. Jimin and Suga are first to tweet online birthday wishes, with Suga calling him a true leader. They were all together when it turned midnight, possibly filming the Black Swan performance for BTS Week at the Tonight Show. While J-Hope was the first to wish him happy birthday in person, his public tweet came hours later with an audio recording of his very raspy, sleepy voice. He explains that he fell asleep while trying to find a good picture to post. V tweets an audio recording as well, and challenges ARMY to record audio of themselves, calling it the RM Challenge, because we're several months into the pandemic, and V would very much just like to hear ARMY's voices. RM tweets a photo of himself in front of a huge projected screen with the Hot 100 list, on which Dynamite is number one for the second week in a row. He calls it a gift. RM does a VLive later that evening, and the boys all show up to wish him happy birthday, both Jin and Suga noticeably fresh from naps. In Japan, they appear on NTV's The Music Day. September 12, 2021. Things are looking up in terms of the pandemic, and BTS are preparing permission to dance on stage concerts for later that year. Jin gifts RM a bicycle for his birthday. It's pink because it's Jin, and chosen because it's similar to the model used for the rentable city bikes that RM has been using. It amuses me that these guys will have watches worth more than a new car, and they won't have bought themselves their own bicycle. A bicycle was my first major purchase as a 12-year-old. Anyway, besides the point. RM spends his birthday bicycling and visiting family, because it's a Sunday, and therefore his day off. He also hikes up a mountain. The members, of course, are all wishing him happy birthday on Twitter and Weverse. They don't have their Instagram accounts yet. In North American time, the VMAs air on September 12th, and BTS win 3 awards, including Best Group. September 12th, 2022. We're in Chapter 2 for RM's 28th birthday. The members post their birthday wishes on either their Instagram accounts or Twitter. RM does a live stream from his dining room. He claims his face is puffy because he had read birthday messages before bed and cried. He's almost done making Indigo. He's living very differently than before because he has so much more time off in Chapter 2. He talks about recently becoming obsessed with the movie Decision to Leave. He also talks about how he chooses which features he does or has on his own album, not because of popularity, but based on relationship and communion. RM also states that the relationship among the BTS members is better than ever, which is why he got the 7 tattoo, even though he doesn't like the irreversibility of tattoos. He says that they love each other, and what they are doing right now, they are doing so that they can stay together for a long time. While September 12th is still going on in America, Jin goes live in Los Angeles because he has traveled to film the music video for The Astronaut. Jin plays games, specifically the game Getting Over It, for 3 hours. September 12th, 2023. On RM's 29th birthday, RM posts a letter contemplating love, honesty, and his continued inexplicable optimism. The members take to Instagram to wish him happy birthday. Jin is enlisted, so we don't hear from him, but J-Hope, who is also enlisted, manages to post some replies to RM's birthday letter on Weverse and wish him happy birthday, as well as wishing JK a belated happy birthday on JK's post from the week previous. Jungkook flies to New York, possibly to shoot a Calvin Klein ad. Meanwhile, V is promoting his album Layover and is doing a pre-recording at M Countdown. You can see it on the Bangtan TV YouTube channel in the Layover Music Show Promotions sketch. His episode of IU's Palette is also released on this day. He also has a station head listening party. September 12th, 2024. RM turns 30 in the military. He donates 100 million won to veterans organizations. RM posts a letter saying that there are things he wants to say, but now is not the time, so he looks forward to when we can be together again. RM shares a lot of photos and birthday posts from others. Some of the other enlisted members are also able to post birthday messages, including J-Hope and V. V also posts to celebrate the one-year anniversary of Layover. Jin is the only member free at this point, but I'm not sure what he was up to on this day, perhaps hard at work filming Run Jin. And that brings us to this year. RM is turning 31 and is a free man again, able to speak when he wants to speak and create music again. His recent Instagram posts have seen him enjoying art and the outdoors, and we all know the members are hard at work making new music, so I'm going to assume that RM is very happy. Hopefully we get another birthday letter from him, or maybe even a live stream. Song discussion. Come Back to Me. Come Back to Me was the pre-release song and the final track of RM's second official solo album, Right Place, Wrong Person, which was written at a frantic pace between February and October 2023 and released a year later while RM was serving his mandatory military enlistment in May 2024. Because RM was enlisted at the time of the album's release, we don't get a beautiful Weverse live behind with RM taking us through each track of the album, like we did for his previous albums and BTS's albums. We did get, however, a documentary on the creation of the album, though it too was as experimental as the album, more about vibes than academic transparency on motivations and meanings. When ARMY first heard Come Back to Me, it wasn't in 2024. It was in August 2023, when RM was the third and final guest on day three of Suga's D-Day finale encore concerts in Seoul. The pattern for the previous days had been that a BTS member would come out and join Yoongi on one of his songs, or a song that they had previously done together, and then Yoongi would leave the stage and allow the BTS member to sing a song of their own. JK sang Seven, which was his only single out at the time, and Jimin sang Like Crazy, from his debut solo album released earlier that year. And RM chose to sing an unreleased song that was important to him. ARMY knew at the time that RM had been working on another album, rather frantically. He did several live streams from his studio over the course of the year, in which he complained that he didn't have enough time. He admitted that originally the plan was for him to release Indigo in December 2022, then enlist at the same time as J-Hope in March 2023. Instead, after Indigo came out on December 2nd and Jin enlisted on December 12th, something in RM's personal life changed that affected him greatly, and suddenly Indigo didn't seem enough of a vessel for his thoughts. His friend, Sanyeon, who he had met through his collaboration with Balmain Tiger, suggested delaying enlistment and working on another album. So, although ARMY did not know any of those specific details yet about why he was suddenly working on another album, when RM stepped out on the stage in August 2023 and announced he was going to sing a new song, ARMY knew it was going to be an important one. Come Back to Me was a departure from RM's usual style, if he were to be said to have one. If it could be compared to any of his previous tracks, I'd say maybe Tokyo from Mono or Forgetful or Number 2 from Indigo. But pushing that alternative, almost folk vibe further, with more emphasis on vocals rather than rapping. In the documentary Right People, Wrong Place, RM described the performance as a declaration that from now on, he'd take a different path. And if you think of the meaning behind naming his previous album Indigo, that it was intended to be an album he released before he found his signature style that suited him. If the Come Back to Me performance is a declaration that the album RPWP is his new path and the style that he's found that he thinks suits him, I'm all for it. It's an absolutely phenomenal album. In my opinion, Right Place, Wrong Person is an unsanitized version of Indigo, in which Come Back to Me really is like a mirror of Number 2. But I'll get into the meaning of Come Back to Me on its own, without reference to other songs he's done. Back to the D-Day concert. RM admitted to being very nervous while performing it that night, holding the mic with both hands because he was shaking too much to hold it with one. It remains the only live performance of the song. You can find fan uploads of it on YouTube, or you can purchase the D-Day concert digital code from Weavers. Getting into the meaning of both the song and the music video is a very intimidating endeavor that feels almost Sisyphean, ironically. I'm going to talk about the music video first. Fun fact about the music video, on the first day of filming, RM bashed his face into a camera and got a cut on the corner of his right eye, which is why he has a bandage cut there for the entire MV. RM came up with the concept of the music video himself. He told the director that it wasn't a love song, but then after he went home, he realized maybe it was a love song. But I might talk about that more when I talk about the lyrics to the song. Let's get back to the music video and how I interpret it. You'll see that my interpretation of the music video kind of relates back to the album title of Right Place, Wrong Person. Basically the feeling of being out of place, but feeling that it's a problem with you as a person rather than being in the wrong place. There are a lot of theories on the music video. In it, we open with RM at a party, not enjoying himself. He walks through the party, pausing to gaze at a particular closed door, perhaps the exit, as he does. And then, as he goes through another doorway, finds himself transported into another scene from life. He's brushing his teeth with a wife and child, while he feels out of place. Every time he leaves a room, he finds himself in another situation. He suddenly finds himself in a fight with a partner. He finds himself being a baby in a crib, not responding to play in a way that satisfies his parents. Eventually, RM spots another person lost in this labyrinthine house, a woman. When he meets her, they switch places, as though they were one and the same, smile and sit on the couch and talk into the night. The scenes from earlier repeat, only now RM is enjoying the time with his wife and child. He's chatting happily with his girlfriend. He's actually a correct-looking baby playing with his parents, rather than a grown man in a crib. He's back at the party enjoying himself. This time, when he walks through the party, he sees the woman he met waiting for him by the closed door. He goes to her, and they share a moment before opening the door and walking out of the house, into another labyrinth of studio house sets that stretch far to the horizon in some vast, unknowable studio warehouse. When I first watched this music video, the way I interpreted the storyline was that RM felt out of place in his life, not enjoying himself, having things fall apart and relationships fail. He then met himself, and here we get into the Jungian psychology of it all, where everyone has an animus and an anima inside them, the male and female sides of their soul. And in order to be well, you must embrace both. You see similar symbology in Jimin's Like Crazy choreography, in my opinion. RM gets to know himself. He embraces himself, enjoys his own company, and learns about himself through his conversations with his inner anima. And then when he re-enters life, he can see and feel the joy in it. He's not strangely separated from his relationships, but present and happy in them. In the end, walking through the door is him basically reaching a point of enlightenment where he can see the backstage of it all, the clockwork of the watch, the facade of life's sets, and he can explore whatever he wants with ease and joy. I've also seen interpretations where he's leaving one conquered house to go on adventures in yet another, or that he is trying to leave, but there is no leaving, only more. There's no end to the maze. And there isn't, but I don't think that's a bad thing. The only end to the maze of life is death, and no one wants that. The press release for the song says that it explores RM's conflicting emotions of yearning for new challenges while wanting to cling to familiarity and be complacent in reality, with the message that everything will come back, but maybe not everything. So with the press release in mind, you could view RM's discomfort in the beginning of the MV as being discontent with familiarity and wanting new things, and the end, him enjoying the familiarity once again before again departing for new things. The music video was directed by Lee Sung-jin, who also wrote and directed the TV series Beef, for those who have watched that TV show, which is why the music video is so cinematic and cool. I also definitely see the influence of RM's obsession with the movie Decision to Leave, which, as you'll recall from the history section of this podcast, he fell in love with around the time that Indigo came out. Bookish Theories on YouTube points out another interesting thing about the music video, in that all of the scenarios that RM finds himself in are social expectations for a life. Enjoying a party with your friends, getting married and having a kid, having a passionate romance, even if that passion ends up in passionate fights, having your parents treat you forever like their child. In that reading, RM's dissatisfaction in those scenarios may be him not fitting into society emotionally, or him wanting to escape those expectations of life. The rest of bookish theories I don't really agree with, but you could check out their video and think your own thoughts. Speaking of not agreeing with bookish theories, let's talk about the interpretation of art for a hot second. Just because I disagree with bookish theories doesn't mean that I'm right and they're wrong, nor does it mean that they're right and I'm wrong. We can definitely look at RM's words surrounding the song and album and try to glean his intention from there. We might interpret his words and motives as he intended, or we may not. But art, and that includes music, can change when it meets its audience. And RM has said this many times in his album Behinds, that he never really wants to give us a detailed meaning behind each line, because he wants us to hear it with open minds and take our own meaning from it. So, this is all to say that you don't have to agree with me either. My intention for this section of the podcast isn't to dictate an absolute truth of what the song means, it's just to open discussion by presenting my own point of view and how I received these little pieces of musical art. So, speaking of art, let's get into the song and the lyrics. The song is mostly in English, with just a single line in Korean. It was written by RM, Sanyeon, Oh Hyuk, Junkyard, and Kyokyo. I mentioned Sisyphus earlier, and that's the first thing RM says about Come Back to Me in the documentary. For those who don't know Sisyphus, Sisyphus is a character in Greek mythology who is punished by the gods for betraying Zeus and then escaping his subsequent death sentence. His punishment was the task of rolling a boulder up a hill for eternity. When he gets near the top of the hill, the boulder rolls back down and he must repeat the task. That's why you'll often hear futile tasks that require a lot of labor described as Sisyphean, where you work very hard for something and gain absolutely no satisfaction because the work is pointless. RM explains to Sanyeon in the documentary, if you push Sisyphus's boulder, it rolls back to you again. Everything that returns to me, including love and pain, it's a perpetual cycle. You gain and you lose love. The boulder falls and you roll it back up. But you could be like, okay, I'm all right, just come back to me. I'm like, I'm fine, fine, come to me. I can do that all day. People come and go. I'm ready to face it. It's about everything that repeats itself. It's about accepting it. Sanyeon calls it a liberation song in reply. Now, back to what RM said about this not being a love song, but then questioning himself that maybe it was. On the whole, a lot of the album presents itself as a breakup album. Although we don't know what turmoil happened in RM's personal life around mid-December 2022, if someone told me that he had a long-term relationship break off, very much not amicably, I would not be shocked. Now, of course, it's none of our business what happened, and who actually knows? BTS have written breakup-sounding songs before about things that aren't romantic relationships, such as Outro Tear or Fake Love. Or they've done the opposite, such as Jimin writing a whole album of love songs only for the lead track from it to basically have the message of, psych, I don't think I've ever actually been in love. During the Archita episode of Suchita, where RM interviewed Suga, Suga talked about his own cycle of depression and how it visits him every 2 to 3 years, and he enters a slump. RM joked in his response, saying, so it's really tiresome, like an ex-girlfriend. You're like an ex-girlfriend I've known for a long time. Comparing Suga's cyclical slumps to an ex-girlfriend returning after you thought the relationship was over. RM anthropomorphizes moods a lot in his writing. In Outro Tear, where he references having his ugly and humble old friends within himself. Or Reflection, where he describes fear as being a friend that approaches him and holds his hand. So, although I fully hear RPWP as a breakup album, I don't see Come Back to Me as a love song or even a song addressing a relationship. I see it more as a song addressed to everything experienced in life. As RM said in the documentary, whether it's love or pain, it will return. And Come Back to Me is about accepting that. That's why it's a liberation song. It's a song about how to find liberation when you're Sisyphus, cursed to a life of repetitive hardship. Falling into a Wikipedia rabbit hole for a second here, Albert Camus, and I might be saying that wrong, argued that one must imagine Sisyphus happy, because the struggle itself towards the heights is enough to fill a man's heart. I'd argue that he's off the mark on that one, but Hollis Robbins, another academic, proposed that Sisyphus's punishment wasn't a punishment, but a recognition of his essential compulsion to push against the rules. I like that interpretation, because I feel that suits Namjoon as Sisyphus better. But I'm getting way off track. What I was actually trying to track down was that I remember somewhere, someone said that in order to survive, Sisyphus must learn to love the work. And I think that's what RM is doing with this song. He's deciding to love these cycles that he finds himself in, to accept them, and to even anticipate and look forward to their return. In their YouTube show, Mini Money Music, recorded before enlistment and only published after the album's release, RM and Jimin discussed the entire RPWP album. In RM's opinion, all the themes of the album Return to the Song come back to me. He says, "When you're wandering, you want to find stability. When you find stability, you want to wander again." End of quote. In this way, Come Back to Me captures this and all other repetitive cycles in his life, or in anyone's life. The song itself has very straightforward lyrics. "I told you I'm fine tonight, staying good. Spring's always been here, I will sleep in her eyes. Come back to me like you used to. Be what you be, I will roll you to the moon." When RM references spring, he's usually using it as a symbol of good things, a return of happiness, another chance to see a loved one. I think that trend continues here. If anything returns to him, then everything is always with him or has the capacity to be with him. RM knows he will be comforted by the happiness of spring, which is why he's staying good. And we also get the first reference to Sisyphus. I remember when he first sang this song, everyone was wondering what he meant by roll you to the moon, not realizing that he was writing a song about being Sisyphus. RM's life, pain, and love can be whatever they want to be. He's still going to be there to roll them up that hill, to roll them as far as the moon if he has to. In the pre-chorus, we get the opposite of being in Spring's Eye, where the cycle dips into pain that RM has to also roll to the moon. "I forget the hour. I don't want to know about the hour. I forgot to shower. Even washing my face feels like a waste of time." To me, this is depression and slumps and hard times. Showering is a hard task for a lot of people when they're having a rough time. When you're suffering mentally, executive function always suffers as well. And a lot of the time, your brain has to make sacrifices. If you only have so much mental energy in the day, that energy gets put to things like pure survival, and being clean while you survive isn't important, so it's something you can easily disregard. RM doesn't let the pre-chorus end without giving himself a pep talk, though. "You don't have to be the anything you see. Try not to be that something in the sea." I interpret those lines as saying that there's no need to force yourself to conform to society. Now, sea is another one of RM's loaded words. He often uses it to describe a destination of happiness and peace. That's usually referencing sea as though you're standing on the shore of it, rather than in the sea. I think here RM is trying not to be just another person in the sea of people. Or the sea itself could be a turbulent one, and RM is trying not to be caught up in the waves and lost. In the chorus, RM sings, "I see you come back to me," and "You are my pain, divine, divine," which he'll repeat 16 times at the end of the song, too. This is the rock rolling back to Sisyphus RM, who must push it up the hill once more, a fate dictated by the gods, thus making it divine in nature. But of course, it's RM, so that divine can also mean that the pain is welcomed, that this is a pain that is also a pleasure. This is further encouraged by the second repetition of the chorus, which has the lines, "Get to the divine, divine, so fine." The repetition of calling the pain divine is RM accepting his fate and thus liberating himself from the torture of it. And that fate could be a specific on-again, off-again romantic relationship, or it could be the act of falling in love, the pain of losing that love, and then falling in love again, repeat. Or it could be the cycles of depression, slumps, and happy creativity that come with being an artist. Or it could be both the negative and positive sides of fame coming at him in cycles, the things that make him love his career and also the things that make him hate it. After all, while he was working on this album, he had a monk betray his confidence to the press and a Korean rail employee sell his personal information. Well, meanwhile, his fame was also allowing him to make an alternative album with the artists that he wanted to work with without worry about it needing to do well enough to afford to keep the lights on. At this point, his lights are on for life no matter what he does. His Sisyphean task might be BTS itself and the pressures of being its leader. RM has been very open that in late 2020, after Dynamite rocketed them to yet another level of fame, RM felt that BTS had become something he didn't have a handle on anymore, that a combination of factors had led him to just not knowing what direction they should go, along with no longer feeling like he could speak on behalf of the group like he was once confident doing. Yes, BTS is also something he loves, something that he planned to return to after military service, something that would come back to him, all the love from fans and all the pleasure in equal measure. Or it could be that his Sisyphean task is being that wrong person in the right place, being someone who wants to be brutally honest about who he is as a flawed human being in an industry designed around selling fantasy and godlike perfection. Either way, RM is going to carry on with the task, and he's going to liberate himself by gladly accepting it. Now, to decide what I'm going to talk about next episode and when that will be. I'm definitely doing birthdays this year now that I've done JK and RM, but Jimin's birthday is a good distance away. So let's have another episode between now and Jimin's birthday. After a quick scan of my history documents, let's pick a whole group BTS song, since I've been doing solo songs with the birthdays and Jimin's birthday will be yet another solo song. So next episode will be out just before October 1st, and it will be about the song Butterfly. So I hope you check it out when it comes out. I will aim for maybe the 30th or the 29th. We'll see. And that brings us to the end of this week's episode. If you'd like to discuss this episode or next week's song or have a say in what song gets chosen in the future, you can find me on Patreon and Ko-fi at A Brand New Day Pod. You can also find me on Blue Sky at A Brand New Day Pod, or you can email me at abrandnewdaypod@gmail.com. Thank you. Have a good day.